to Never Tell Me the Odds, the Star Wars RPG podcast. Today we'll be joining in with our intrepid band of adventurers as they trace the streets of the Backwater Pendillion system, trying to find answers about the mysterious artifact they possess, an artifact which promises to lead to untold riches. Joining us at the table today, we have Dan, the droid, played by Tom Fons, Bile, the Tals, played by Matt Cook, Lorik the Wookiee, played by Jeanette X, Malcolm, the human bounty hunter, played by Gary Soldati, and of course, Gippy Bindu, the overweight geriatric Mon Calamari politico, played by Andrew Jones. I'm David Crennan, I'll be your GM for this session, and that's it, so let's get right on into it. Here we go!
Seriously, though, where would you like me to put it? Because I got some things to do. I got some.
You know what? I'll put it here. And I take out my gun.
What?
Yeah. And what? I shoot him in the face.
Oh!
What?
That was unexpected!
Wait, no,
isn't this my obligation coming back? I was tortured by Hutz.
And actually, your obligation did get rolled up this time.
Oh my god!
So one thing is you take two strain. So great. Not mark two strain down as your rage is boiling in you.
How will I pollute my various spawning pools in this race?
Let me just make a suggestion. So your obligation is triggered when you see this hut, and you realize the best way to get revenge on this guy is going to be a cold, calculated revenge, not necessarily shooting him in the face right now. Particularly because your ship maybe needs to be refueled.
Do it anyway.
You need some of the services. Get all that from him. Then give him the shot to the back.
I shall pollute all of his spawning pools without his permission.
Great. To his face. Okay.
Okay.
But yes, so your obligation is triggered. You guys have a moment of intense hatred passes between your eyes, between Pulaf's. Pulaf sees that. And do you give him the lightsaber?
No. But I got a good look at the inside of the vault. And I was there when he punched the code in with his big fat arm.
Yeah, and it's a giant keypad to accommodate, so there was no question as to what number to hit. Yeah.
That's absolutely true. And you guys rejoin up with the rest of the group.
So, what brings you out here to this lovely place? Anyone?
I'm just staring at him.
do you guys actually remember?
I've had weird fever dreams because of Jedi shit, but I'm not going to tell him that.
All right. Great.
All right. I'll chalk it up as R&R. All right. Okay. Well, yeah, mi casa su casa. Yeah, but right. Also there is going to be credits exchange. Sorry. Gotta run this business.
As you know, with the Mon Cal life cycle, I simply am seeking somewhere to hatch my young and devour them in peace.
That sounds fantastic. Set up shop any way you like, except for the hotel lobby.
Yes.
Okay.
Very well.
I was meaning to ask, in the 4 weeks, did I have any weird obelisk dreams?
Yeah, some more, just generally, more dreams where you're in these catacombs or whatever they are, and there's a robed figure, but nothing as vivid as the one you had recently.
So nothing on this planet is bringing back memories, like dream memories.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Things probably, you feel vaguely unsettled, and this feeling of unease has been growing.
All right.
But it's not anything you can put a finger on just yet. You're just probably kind of irritable. Irritable Wookiee.
I want to get a feel for the town, use my streetwise to get some information.
Go ahead and put your dice pool together for that. They'll be too purple.
I'm going to hit the game room, see if we can recoup some of our lost credits.
Okay, always a good idea.
I'm trying to keep the obelisk with me and hidden.
Okay. Dan's just getting sort of the lay of the land, making sure everything seems up to on the level.
Okay.
Yeah, Bal's gonna look for any sort of down and out, like any sort of underworld.
Okay.
Sights or any signals.
Doopy sent us here, but did he give us anything?
No. All he said is he thinks he's not even positive, but he thinks whatever compounds related to this thing. There's one planet in the system in the galaxy that he knows where they might possibly have come from. Seems to be this planet. That's all you've got.
Just gonna kind of do like a mineral, find a miner.
Yeah.
Yeah, my underworld check is 3 success and 1 threat.
Okay, so 3 success. It's a mining town. You'd have figured out pretty quickly. The miners seem to do most of their work. They do actually very little mining on the surface where they get kind of rare minerals. And a lot of it's kind of done on asteroids. It's a lot of asteroid mining where they just kind of try and get rare minerals out, and the people kind of scrape out kind of a meager living. It's not too bad, but, you know, no one's getting rich. Most people in town are in the pocket of Pulov there. He's kind of the... He owns, you know, almost everything in town. Anybody needs money, they get it from him. He's kind of the bank, the magistrate, and the only person with any real money on the planet here. But everyone else just kind of does mining, and he provides kind of the other services.
So he's basically the underworld on this... this town. There's no other competition. There's no other people trying to work around him. Okay.
And normally a piece of very junior hut. This is kind of a tiny little unimportant planet, and he's a pretty tiny unimportant hut, but on this planet he's king, essentially. Right. So he's pretty happy there. He's kind of, if you wanted anything unusual, anything out of the ordinary, you go to him. He kind of arranges things for you. So he's indispensable to the people on the planet. You also, with your threat, get a lot of nasty looks. You don't see any other humans on the planet. Some Aqualish, a few Arconas, no humans. And you hear under your breath every here and, you know, here and there, kind of like a racist, like, human kind of comment, like, okay. Pinkies.
God Where damn. Are scales? So nude.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
No, just like, you pick up a bad vibe as you kind of ask around. Great. Gaming room?
Yes.
Pretty out-of-date gaming room. Bad green carpet flooring that was put in 30 years ago and old systems and stuff like that. What skill check do you think you would use?
Skill.
I don't know.
You can just roll the dice.
Cool?
Yeah, I was thinking...
Cool. Let's play cool.
Oh, that's a fun idea.
Yeah, there's no, like, luck.
You sure?
Cool? Yeah, cool. All
right, 4 green then.
No, you asshole. Okay, against 2 it. Purple.
All right.
And,
Fucking bring it.
Yeah. And I got plenty of dark side points, so I'm going to flip one, turn one of those purple into a red.
Oh, goodness. All right, so I wildly succeed. So that is 3 successes and 1 advantage.
Great, 3 successes, 1 advantage. You win a payout of chits that are exchangeable with Pulov for, like, hotel services.
All right.
Spawning pool.
Yeah, spa services. What else? Other services available at the hotel.
Yes. It's not actually gambling. It's an arcade, and you can get little dinky prizes.
I just go to the spa, and I just put all my chits in there, and it's like, how many happy endings does this buy me?
Yeah, and it's actually a ton of happy endings.
All right. I just say on the comm, I'll see you all in 12 hours.
Okay. Yeah, it's definitely, you managed to kind of break the bank at the casino, so you've got enough to just occupy this whole spa, which is totally empty and looks like it hasn't been cleaned in any recent year.
My cataracts would deceive me on that.
Okay.
So I've not noticed.
You guys were poking around as well?
Poking around the town.
Cataracts is
possible. Looking for something in particular?
I guess, I don't know. Timeout wise, I don't know what incentive my character would have to even stick around with these guys.
That's a great question, because you just tried to steal their ship.
Yeah, and now you know what yourself. I mean? And then all of a sudden we were like out and about, and like, I don't know what this obelisk is and what that has in it for me, and then anything. Like, they if anything, like a, it'd be like I'd get back on the ship and leave.
You'd be like, I literally see don't you guys
know.
Later.
I'll tell you what keeps you here. High Roller here just earned all of you a free meal ticket to the buffet, and you got upgraded to the penthouse.
Wow. Yeah, that's actually happening.
There's one thing Tal love, it's luxury.
It's what they're used to.
Now, okay, your droid was killed by the people we're also fighting, so maybe like a vengeance thing?
I think you've got a new droid now, by the way.
I built a new droid.
Yeah. So you've forgotten about the old one.
Yeah.
He's kind of a shitty droid. He's not nearly as good as
Ultron. Yeah, he's Ultron. He's first edition Ultron.
Yeah. Built from scrap. He's got a bucket head. Yeah. You know, but like, coming
Why
around.
Did you make me?
Yeah.
So yes, you do have a new droid who's Strange. Not 100% there, but it's keeping it together. One thing you might have to keep you in with the group is you were around when that Doopy hologram projected, and Doopy was explaining everything about the artifact, and he thinks it's this key, and it might be this key to fabulous riches beyond your wildest dreams. If this is what he thinks it is, if it's something from the Infinite Rakata Empire, which is pretty much only exists in Fable, if you actually brought something back, it would be like showing up in real day with like, hey, Here's a sword from Atlantis. Like, actually
so
is.
We're playing Borderlands 1.
Has someone, someone done this idea? Shit.
No, it's great. It, there's similarities, though, I know. When you said what, and it's called Pandora, and now we're on Pandelion. Fuck. Great, it's good news.
Okay,
that
good.
Makes me excited. That makes me stay. Like, tell,
it is worth you. Basically, if you can get even a armful of riches,
it'll be enough.
It'll be enough to make you a smuggler prince.
Great. All right. Well, then that's good. That's what I needed to remember.
Okay.
My interest is money. Great. And that's what this thing will lead to.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start looking around for any sort of lead.
Pulaf probably is a good lead. There's also like a mining consortium on the planet as well, where you could probably go in there and chat with people.
Great.
Time out. Can you understand us?
Maybe they can. You can understand them,
right.
But you
yeah.
can't understand him. But you've got a droid
now.
Now
I have a droid.
Yeah.
And so that becomes clear in our 4.5 week journey is that Bal is not the beast companion. He has droid companions, and he uses droids to open doors and translate and get through places because Tals aren't really a respected race. So he has them as his misdirection, his mislead. He's, you know, he puts the droids first and lets them get spaced, and then he's still running around and stuff. So
gotcha.
That's his smuggling facade.
It worked on me.
Yeah.
I thought that was... Yeah, getting sucked out into space.
Yeah, I know. I liked your face when that happened. You were worried for me as a friend, and I like that.
I don't know.
And Dam realizes that you're using his people as puppets.
Yeah.
I'm sure that...
I keep trying to plug pieces into him.
Yeah.
Get away from me. Yeah, I'm trying to take him over.
Please don't touch me. All
right.
I think you probably also noticed you've got kind of a cerebral, like Lobot has in Cloud City.
Oh.
You've got
yeah.
that kind of thing. That's kind of slightly visible, right?
Yeah, people? It's kind of under the fur. It's kind of like when a furry dog has a collar on. You can kind of see the collar. There's definitely a there's a band, like a neuro band that he uses to direct the droids and stuff and
yeah.
speak through the droids.
Very cool.
Very cool character. Yeah.
Very cool.
With the slow payoff, which is always good. Okay, so you guys meet up with Malcolm and maybe Lorik as well, and you guys basically compare information, and that's that. Probably the best place to go to find out something about this artifact would be at this mining consortium. They might have, there might be someone there you can talk to, or you could go to Pulaf, the hut. He might know something as well, and it's up to you about which way you want to go. And Gippy is toweling off as he comes out of the sauna.
Well,
gleaming, glistening. He's not, no towel around his genitalia, just standing there. In
but
his
we can't
board.
See that anyway.
No.
Let's just stop by the buffet for a second, head back in. You guys good?
I think we don't want to shoot anyone in the face, so why don't we go to the mining consortium?
Great, and we can meet up with Pulaf for dinner.
Sounds great.
And work that angle.
All right, so you guys head out across town. Again, outside, it's just kind of like, it's very deserty, extremely dry. Gippy, are you joining them?
Yes, I leave the dozens of exhausted and moaning in ecstasy Rodian women.
Oh. So that's basically like a female splinter, right?
What?
What?
Aren't Rodians rat-like?
No, Rodians are right. Greedo. They're
just stop.
The green guys with the
little listen,
snout?
If you have a question or an idea, just hold on to it.
The pig guys who carried you up the stairs.
No.
Those are Gamorreans.
Who shot
and
first?
Pig guys are Gamorreans. They're not rats. Rodians are not rats.
Rodians kind of look like lizards.
I think I'm at the wrong podcast.
They look like
this guy. This guy.
Is this the Valley?
That's a Rodian.
Rodians are nasty.
Oh! I know them. They were in
the movie.
In the bar.
They were in
yeah.
Star Wars.
Every monster's in the bar.
They were in the bar.
So,
last weekend.
Okay.
So now that you have an accurate picture of Gippy's conquest, yes, he is joining you.
A dry, hot wind blows out as soon as you exit into these dusty streets. The air smells again with that kind of sulfurish ash. And you guys come up to the consortium, which is basically just it's kind of like a couple temporary structures put together, made out of like plast steel. And inside it's just kind of, there's like an AC that's running in full power. And there's like a guy sitting behind a desk, or possibly a girl.
A person.
Yeah, didn't work. There we go.
I don't understand how you're dice.
Oh, fall on a name.
It falls on a name, I
oh,
think.
Oh, it's like a physical thing.
It's a dice map. Yeah, so what I've done, guys, just for listeners at home, I had everyone write down a bunch of celebrities' names, who they want to see in Star Wars, who they can reasonably do impressions of. So I'm dropping the Force die on it, and whoever's name it lands closest to gets to, that's who shows up. So this is Priest from The Princess Bride.
Mawin.
Which is pretty good.
Mawin.
Who feels
Peter
like
Cook? Isn't that his name?
Is it Peter Cook?
That's yeah.
Okay.
Wow. How do you wow.
No relation. Yeah.
Reasonable Peter Cook, you think you can do one?
Marriage.
Yeah.
Yes.
You don't like humans, probably.
Great. What race is he?
We'll do you're an Arcona, which are those they're also in the bar scene. They've got like the big flared out head and the golden eyes.
Oh yeah,
big almond-shaped golden eyes.
Great,
dudes.
Not Hammerhead. Not Hammerhead, but yeah, he's got.
Yes,
kind of
I know him, and he's kind of with the spaceman, and he's got a weird like swivel on his head. I know
Who
it is. He's got glitter gold eyes.
Yes, got exactly it. That guy, glitter gold eyes.
I know those guys in that bar.
Okay, Arcona. Yes, you do. Uh-huh. Whatever that bar's name is,
Fraggle Rock.
Oh man,
I gotta go.
What is your brain connected to?
That's all I watch
it's
all
just
day.
Random words.
Do you really?
Oh my God.
That's awesome.
JJ's obsessed.
Oh, I knew I liked her.
This okay, go ahead.
Hello, welcome to the Mining Collective.
Hello.
Oh yes, hello. You're very tall.
Thank you.
How may we help you?
I'm interested in minerals.
Oh, really? What kind of minerals?
What do we know about the minerals? Besides saying this, because I don't want to do, hey, this.
Are you hiding something?
That's a good question. So the Wookiee starts to look nervous when you ask your question. Wookiee, since you're doing the talking here, go ahead and roll up your negotiation skill
against.
I think this guy's just a two-purple kind of guy. How do you feel about Wookiees? You like them or you hate them? Neutral.
I'm indifferent. They're beastly.
So no setback, no boost dies.
Negotiation.
So two green against two purple.
All right, right now I wash with one disadvantage. Ah, one advantage. Oh, no, just completely a failure.
This is a really busy time of year for us, and if you don't make this worth my while, I'll go back into the break room.
He's slumped there, one hand on his weird-shaped chin, on this, like, Formica desk, basically. Curtains in the background are blowing.
The break room is clearly visible, but there's a little chain.
Yeah, yeah. I'll replace the chain. I am just Droopy Dog now.
Wookiee? Is anyone going to... Is Wookiee still doing the talking?
Gibby's dozed off, yes.
Okay.
Right. Description about the materials. What is it like? What can you tell us about a high density?
Well, it looks like you might.
Metalloid.
I think you.
Because
of your failure, I think you actually have to tip your hand and show him the thing that you
found.
I found this thing.
Oh!
Well, that is an amazing thing. I like that thing. I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen one of those.
You may have. You've seen maybe. Things a bit like this, but nothing
this
big or
intact.
This is
a little bit different than the things I've seen.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm not maybe an expert on this, but...
Let's go ahead and roll another negotiation check.
I steal the object and run into the break room.
Yeah, you might do that.
And
as well.
Replace the chain.
We'll see what
just
happens.
Walked us off.
Roll another negotiation.
We're doomed.
I imagine I've got a pretty good grip on the object.
Oh, look that way.
I haven't handed it over.
We'll see how big it is.
No, I didn't really. I didn't go for it.
In fact,
yet.
We're going to go in and upgrade one of those purple to a red. So that's one purple, one.
I really have no negotiation.
You should probably wake up the slumbering Mon Calamari behind you.
Oh, we'll
no?
see. No, she's already rolling it. Despair? Despair! Oh.
Holy
shit.
That's when the game gets interesting.
But one advantage.
Oh.
So maybe I see it coming.
How do you interpret a despair from this Wookiee?
I take it and run.
Yeah, are you running?
Yeah.
Would he have to at least grapple with me over it? Because this is a conversation.
Could I say?
Thing.
Could I say this?
You're just like didn't expect
be very
that.
Careful.
Like, oh.
It's a very fragile.
Yeah, I think he pulls like a Oh, yeah, let me just see that for 1 second. Here you go.
Okay.
I'm running away.
How does he run?
Yeah, I'm running away.
Where do you go? So you...
And then I hit a button on the wall that disguises a tile, and all hell breaks loose.
Okay, so you hit the emergency button.
This like 3,000 population town.
Yeah,
there's an intensely elaborate traps set up in the mining union.
Yeah,
you go into the break room. You hit the button. This is your despair. A blast door slides shut, and a little escape pod. You can see through the little window. He's in there, and he's just you give him like a little like
the bear
sardonic wave
from Spacebumps.
Yeah, and then. Fire comes shooting into the room.
Now, we're not underground. I can go to the window and see where his rocket's going, right?
Yes, this is correct.
Okay.
It's just like one over.
Yeah, next door.
It's a Wonka Vader.
Yeah.
It goes next door.
And he's at the counter at the next... building.
Hello.
You met us back.
This is a smoothie shop.
I think we're running with that. So you out the window, you see this thing going. You guys are all knock prone. Everybody in this room will take 2 damage from the fire, ignoring your soak. That just from as this thing blasts off, and you're all knocked prone.
And the room fills with delicious smells of fish fry.
And are we back up?
Yeah, you guys had plenty of time to rest, so you're at fall there. Your ship's a little dinged up, but that's it. You guys get back up off the ground. You look out through the window just in time to see the thing start going. Slams right through the roof of the building next door.
Oh.
Cut to you guys entering.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, I'm not.
We walk next door. We didn't even run.
His hair's all messed up. He's like trying to put on a good show.
Yeah. You stand up from behind the counter and there's a little bit of rubble in your hair.
Great.
Can I have you?
Trying to be someone else?
Were you trying to talk to my brother next door?
Nobody tells me nothing.
Okay. So you do have the artifact.
Great.
Are you just holding it behind your back with one hand?
Yeah.
Okay. They basically, there's one exit out. There's a escape pod partially through the roof.
Actually, I'm going to leave it in the escape pod.
Okay.
Like, it's going to stash it.
Okay, so as you roll out onto the ground, and you guys come through the door with a little ding-a-ling-ding-ding-ding.
So there's a rocket into the ceiling of the building, and you're just standing
well, it's in the break
counter.
Room behind the wall.
They all have a break room. But yeah, as you guys...
I'm really hoping somebody gets another despair and I get to reuse that escape pod. And we just leapfrog down the 3,000 person...
So is it the same layout of the previous building?
It's
the same break room?
So I'm gonna walk.
It's almost identical. Now, I will say, as you guys come in, you do see that there's an escape pod lodged through the roof of this building.
Right.
Smoke coming up out of the engine.
So I'm going to walk over towards the break room and just lean against the wall next to the tile that he would hit if he was going to take off to jump to the next building.
Great.
Is he able to do that? Is there, what is this?
No, there's a real severe vibro counter, and if anybody tries to get through it, they just die.
Is there a regular counter though? You said
it just cuts right through them. Yeah, just on the outside of the counter. When you're through the shopkeep, it's all right.
That sounds like a trap.
It's vibro laced.
Sounds like a trap that has to be turned on though.
You thwart your attempts to move the story forward at every turn.
You could have taken a listener suggestion, but no.
Nothing has happened.
I'm going with the listener suggestion.
We checked into a hotel. That's all that's occurred.
Yeah, that's been a big event.
All right. Yeah, you come in. You're in the next
great.
Building.
Hello. How may we help you?
You lean up next to the tile, Malcolm. Who's speaking this time?
Malcolm's in first, right?
Oh, Malcolm's in first. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, we just walked next
door.
So my
guy spits at his feet.
I said, you and your people are filthy.
And then he shoots him in the face.
Yeah.
Because my priest's character has an obligation where I have to kill every human I see.
Again, that is news to me.
I'm dying.
And I use my disruptor pistol that I stole off the towels.
Oh, no.
And I just crit. And MJ's disintegrated.
Malcolm's head is just gone.
Thank God, that picture you posted on the website, start over.
Malcolm.
Where do you take damage? In strain or wound? I'm still trying to take
wound.
My 2 damage.
In wound.
Great.
Okay.
Hello, how may we help you? Spit shot. Back into the escape pod.
down the street.
He's heading back to the escape pod.
Yeah. Now I'm at a really...
There's a different escape pod.
I'm at a really cool sneaker store now.
No, you can't.
You jump in.
They're gentrifying all of Candelia 3.
Hotter topic. It's a shoe store.
Oh, hotter topic.
Okay, so my headless corpse next to a tile button.
Okay, so Gary,
yes.
You do see that the Sarcona has an itchy trigger finger.
Buddy. Great, so I'm going to shoot him first.
You're leaning up against the tile.
Great, like a badass. I'm he's disheveled from the rocket landing. You don't walk off a space shuttle.
That sounds good. Roll up your ranged light or heavy roll. What are you shooting him with?
Replace him in the party.
Come on, guys. Let's figure out this
order. Go this way.
So you're shooting this guy.
I'm going to... No.
Roll melee. And actually, if anyone has xenology, this might be a helpful time.
Yeah.
Roll xenology for me. Mm-hmm. One Drin? Purple. And you're going to slam his head into the counter. Yeah. Roll that up.
Against.
He's got a big head.
One purple as well.
Oh, yeah. You got three success.
Gary, we'll resolve Gary first and then... Because I think the slamming his head into the counter is a little more immediate than...
So I have three advantage, three success.
Great. Wow, you pound the shit out of him. So what,
no!
what is your brawn?
This is why I don't like you people.
You do 7 points of damage to this guy. You walk in, grab his head firmly on both sides, and drive it down as hard as you can into the vibro counter. Just, I think it's not turned on. Slam it into the counter.
He's hurting me!
You softened him after negotiation. And that's fantastic. I would do that to all of the orphans.
All right. Damn. One of the things you suddenly recall about Arconas are they have a very strange reaction to common salt. Regular table salt is extremely potent narcotic to Arconas, and it causes them to have intensely vivid hallucinations and become desperately addicted to it.
What about sea salt?
Sea salt would do it.
What about iodized salt?
Iodized salt? Also works.
What about the movie salt?
Yeah, that's a good question. Exposure to the movie salt, probably not.
Saltwater taffy.
In sufficient quantities.
So, as both a way to speak to his fellow adventurers and also to sort of threaten this Arcona, I would like to remind everyone that salt would be a horrible thing to get on this fellow if anyone has any salt.
Because of your advantage on that as well? One telltale sign that an Arcona is using salt is their eyes are normally green and they turn golden.
You see the thing?
So he's
is,
already on it.
I naturally excrete salt.
That's right. This
sea salt there?
Yeah, the viscous layer of slime that covers my entire body.
It's quite salty.
Yes, extremely.
Okay, so first we're going to go back over to the priest.
The mineral priest.
The mineral priest.
Okay.
Great, that's exactly who he is.
Okay, great.
And you're desperately addicted to salt. You're trying to shake it because you know it'll kill you. It's incredibly deadly.
Okay.
It's probably the only thing you really fear.
So I'm afraid of it.
It's like if you were addicted to heroin,
right,
and you hated it and you knew it was killing you and you wanted to stop and you're just like, I'm not going to do it anymore. That was the last time. And then somebody's like, hey, I got a little heroin. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You love it and you fear it and like you need it, but you hate it.
That's some deep topics.
I feel like an intervention.
This
like
is really
the,
dark.
Like we should. I this feel is, like there's a lesson for the listeners.
Listen, you can't just jump in an escape pod and get rid of your problem. You got to face this, buddy.
We're here for you.
You hold on to your salt, and unless you have a little bit, no, I can't do it anymore. What? You were going to say something, you little droid? You got some salt?
I wouldn't particularly call myself little.
I'd call you little unless you got some salt, you motherfucker. What are you doing to me?
We have salt.
Oh!
And we will use it.
Oh!
All right, what are you going to do? Are you paralyzed by fear, or are you going to try and...
I think he's on the bad end of a withdrawal, and so he's going to... I think he's going to...
I just want to know what this thing's made of.
You don't even know where it is at this point.
He's going to swing it at MJ to try to, like...
Swing what at him?
Like, he's just going to try to, like, boom, like, bat him to get to Dam, who he thinks is trying to supply him and may also be able to supply him.
With salt.
So there's just some sort of aggressive attack towards Dam that he's not really sure which way it's going to go yet, but it sent him. The salt has sent him into a tizzy.
Okay, go ahead and make a brawl attack against him.
Okay.
Check.
So let's say just three green.
Three
on
green
your attack against one purple.
That's a really nice dice pool.
He's three bronze, pretty standard, and melees are easy to hit with.
So that is a failure with two advantage.
So you probably just come stumbling forward and are just flailing at him with overly large hands, but not really hurting him.
Okay.
Fall up against Dam.
And start checking for salt.
groping Dam.
Yeah, yeah.
Cyborg body with your weird alien fingers.
Yeah.
This man is touching me in places I don't wish to be touched.
Not cool, man.
Happy so this will conclude this chapter.
Yeah. Thanks for playing, guys. So, you said you have salt excreting from your body?
Yes, it's true. excuse me, Sam. I believe that we've got plenty of leverage on you, but I can tell by the beautiful golden shine in your eyes. It's causing you to excrete even more salt than usual.
I'm standing like a bouncer.
Oh, okay. Backing up Gippy.
All we require is your expert opinion on this artifact, and we could leave you alone or provide you with as much delicious salt as you require.
Oh.
No?
Negotiation check.
Fair enough.
One purple. And two boost die.
Okay.
Because this guy's at the end of his rope. Almost an unnecessary roll, I would say. The number of dice you've put in your hand.
Yeah.
Okay, success.
So, yeah, it's three successes and three advantage.
Great.
Everything you know is that this is information you're relating to them, desperately, through tears. You personally don't know that much about it, but there's an old hermit who lives far on the outskirts of town, knows all about these things. If anyone would, he's spent his life observing just asteroid fields and, like, monitoring everything, and every now and then he comes back with some sort of weird bobble from, like, digs that he does. But no one's seen him now for a couple of years.
Mm.
But so he gives you the directions. It's like a day's travel outside of town.
And then he hops into his escape pod and just goes back to his previous store. We do need to get our obelisk back.
Yeah.
What is it? It's a little obelisk, right?
Yeah. And we'll say we screen wipe too. You've got the obelisk back. And you guys are setting out across the town.
And we're cool now. We're like, hey, man, addiction's tough.
So we screen wipe to you guys are setting out. What you know from the Arcona back in town is that it's kind of a perilous trek across salt flats, basically badlands, all the way out here. You proceed for a while, and it's just kind of rocky ground and the occasional outcropping. And then eventually that falls away. And then you find yourself standing on what is essentially the shore of a vast, flat salt plain that just stretches out into the shimmering distance. You can't even tell quite how far out you're seeing because just the heat is coming off of this almost totally flat ground. And as you get closer and closer, you can see it really is a shore. The rock kind of ends, and then there's just panes of salt, big flat plains of salt laid out over the ground, like big hexagons, you know, 10, 20 meters across that have like kind of rammed into each other. And they seem to be on top of an ocean. Looks shallow, you know, maybe not more than 10 meters deep, but filled with boiling salt water. Just like a boiling cauldron. And all of the salt has just formed this crust on top. And you can see that the crust is only a few inches thick. If you were to step just right out into the middle of it, probably crack, and then crack some more, and then you might fall through into this boiling sea. Fortunately, where these planes of salt have kind of rammed into each other, they form these ridges, a foot and a half wide, almost 2 feet wide, just, you know, 6 inches above the rest of the planes. It looks like it could hold your weight if you guys walked single file.
Wookiee weight?
Even Wookiee weight. Yeah, so kind of...
Even... All right, fair enough.
Gippy weight?
Those are sturdy.
Okay. So they kind of spider their way out, so it's not a straight line. You'll kind of have to zigzag your way and just watch your step and carefully cross. So you guys kind of look at that. Someone makes a wisecrack. Yep. And it's pretty funny.
Listeners tweeted us a wisecrack.
Yeah, some sort of Han Solo-esque wisecrack about, I thought we were getting out of the fire.
So that guy should be licking the whole way here.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, it's a bad place to be an addict. So a couple hours later, you guys are crossing, when someone notices kind of the shimmering haze seems to be changing slightly, coming slightly closer, and then slightly closer, and then you hear a sound, the sound of skittering, and you can see, first on one side, out what looks like just a shimmering haze, something is moving across the salt plains towards you. And it's undulating as they come. And as they get closer and closer, you can see at about 50 feet out from you, giant centipedes. About a meter, 2 meters long.
Cool.
Thin. only a few inches high. They're like chitinous shell is very long and thin and kind of molds out over them and goes out flat. And you can see that they've got thousands of legs underneath. And they slit, like they like shimmy back and forth. And they're transparent. Their shells are almost transparent, like they're made out of salt themselves. You see like three or four coming from one side, and then you turn your head and you can see on the other side another three or four coming straight at you as fast as they can come.
So they're able to go over the thin part of the salt?
Yeah, they seem to be, their thin flatness seems to distribute their weight so that it's no problem. And as they get closer and closer, you can see they're clicking mandibles and as they come just skittering towards you guys. Let's get a vigilance check.
Woo!
So do we still have the strain and the damage after this long? Because it took us a while to get here, right?
Yes, you do. Still do. Just the heat has been so intense, you haven't had a chance to rest up from that. That still applies. You're still pissed off about Hutts. So you still have that strain. And the other thing I should point out, any critical hits you guys have taken, and I think almost everyone except the Wookiee has taken critical damage from the explosion and everything like that, the speeder bike crashes, you guys have not had prolonged stay in like a medical facility yet. So those are still on your character sheet, which means any additional critical hits you take, if you go below zero ever again, or keep adding up, and I'll put you closer and closer to the true death, of which there's no coming back from. Okay, let's get those vigilance
three rolls.
Okay, starting with Lorik, so that's three.
One.
Bal, is your droid with you, Bal?
Yeah.
Two.
Sam has two.
One.
Gippy has one.
One.
Okay, so among you three guys who got one, you guys can decide who wants to go first, who wants to go second, all that stuff. Lorik, we'll start with you. These centipedes, so there's three on one side, four on the other side.
Are they in melee range?
No, they're at about medium range, and it looks like they'll reach you guys after about a round. You would have to have a gun or something like that and shoot at them, otherwise...
I do have just a plain blaster pistol, so I'll just...
Roll it up.
Two points.
At this point, medium range, yeah, two purples.
Oh, damn. Two advantage, one success, which means I do six, seven damage on the one that's nearest to me.
What weapon is that?
Just a blaster pistol.
Okay, you get your blaster pistol up, you sight this thing down, it's coming closer, and then just crack a shot off, hits it right in the head, its body like flails up into the air behind it, skitters, and then stops dead. Okay.
Oh, you can shoot the salt underneath them, and maybe they boil to death.
She cries out as Dan is up.
He's going to do a xenology check on these guys just to see if there's like any apparent weakness or thing that we should be...
Yeah.
Going for.
That is one success.
Okay, one success.
Advantage. One advantage.
So you haven't encountered these things before, salt flat centipedes. They look like they're probably pretty fragile. Not going to take too much damage to kill one of these things. You also note that creatures like this sometimes have an acidic bile they can spit at their foes.
Oh no!
Like a saline bile you might expect that these guys have. So if they get close enough to you, they could probably spit that at you, and that's probably bad news.
Damn, relays that information to them.
And then no attack?
Yeah, no, I will attack. I have a blaster pistol.
In order to do the knowledge check and attack, you'd have to take two strain as you're like pushing yourself.
Okay. That is one success.
Great. You crack another one, just you aim tight, you hit another one, goes down right through one of its, like, the mid-segment. It, like, breaks into two pieces and, like, slides to a halt. That's two down, five remaining. Bal, Gippy, and Malcolm. Who of you wants to go first?
I can probably inspire you to do better. He's going to see the various centipedes and regale you both with memories of an extraordinary meal they had involving various multi-legged bugs.
It's like, dude, where is it? It's like, when you see the lights in her eyes, that's when you know it's dinner time.
So I'm going to roll leadership against two, and then I'm going to give a boost die to who's going to shoot and blow up things.
I hit pretty well, so
they pointed at each other.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what guns I have. I know I have the disruptor pistol, but I don't know what else.
I'll say there's one blaster rifle that either Malcolm has or you have it.
Okay.
Go for it.
You don't need it?
It's ranged heavy.
Add a boost die to your next roll.
I'm going to use the Fiver.
The Fiver, which I should tell you, by the way, does 8 points of damage.
Great.
On hit. It also is vicious and has piercing, so it ignores people's soak, and when it hits them, it does all sorts of brutal critical hit damage. And it's accurate. It's just so well made, bounced so well on your finger, that you could add a boost die naturally on every attack you make with it.
Wow.
Whoa.
Is it heavy?
Yeah, it's got a real weight to it.
This is the best thing that's ever happened to my character. Can I borrow two of these?
Sure.
And two purple?
And two purple. So you lay side on with your blaster pistols as the centipedes continue to skitter in towards you on either side, closer and closer now.
So that is... Wow, that's a lot. So that is four success and two advantage.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's probably enough that you get a second shot off with your fiber. So it's the first shot, by the way, louder than you guys have heard anything in quite a while. It's just a cacophonous, thunderous, just cacow! And then one of the things, like, hits one of these centipedes and just is blasted to, like, little bits of chitin. Shell flies everywhere. And then, what do you call that? You can fan it.
Yeah, fan the hanner. The last word.
That's right. You get a second one off right next to another one. Don't hit it, but it, like, tears through the salt sheeting. There's a big splash of water, and you see one of the centipedes go into that, taking down two.
That's awesome.
I love it.
Four down.
They're still at medium range.
They're closing in quickly, so by the time you guys are all done acting, they'll be on you.
Got it. So then I'm going to use my blaster rifle. That I've had my whole life.
And you have a boost die on it.
Yes.
So the Tiles is out there. He's got this blast rifle you slung across your back after the screen wipe. We saw you walking around with that. So you sling that off. It's black against your pinkish white fur. You sight it up. Two purple on that, right?
Yes. Okay. For three success.
Blam. Take it down, leaving two left. That's one on either side of these centipedes. Come skittering right up to you guys now. So they're both attacking Malcolm. Only a green and a yellow against one purple. It's been a dark side point upgrade. So they two come skittering up to you. One success, two advantage. So you take 5 points of damage as one wraps around your leg and comes up onto your body with its like pincers and gets you from behind. And then as you kind of are like trying to fight it off, the other one comes skittering up. And, like, it raises up like a cobra, and its mandibles flare open, and then its whole, like, long thorax distends, and then it spits out this saline bile. It's just like a thick yellow glob that just sprays out, like, out of a nozzle into your face. So you take 5 points of damage, and it has a burn effect on it, which means that you're going to take damage again on your next round. Okay. Unless you can get this stuff off. So if you take your turn next round, you can get it all off, otherwise you'll take damage again.
So this, the five damage is from two attacks.
Yeah, that's from both attacks. That's great. From them together. And it also, it's all in your face and it's burning your eyes.
Luckily you were wearing sunglasses and they're taking most of the...
Yes.
Great call.
You'd have to say a cool quip for them to come down in time.
Yeah. You're going to be using those legs for run-ins, you little ship.
You little ship?
Shit leashes. I panic.
Shit leashes?
Yeah, they're just long...
Things that are holding on to shit?
Oh my god.
Yeah, that you walk shit with.
So what's the matter? Centipede your pants?
Nice! That would have worked. That would have worked. Your sunglasses don't come down in time, which means you get hit in the eyes with this. That's two setback die onto your next attack.
Whoa.
So you get that shit out of your face. Okay. Lorik, you're up.
This bitch's turn.
Two left.
So now they're in close range.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask them a question.
You love
it. I say because I have my vibro-axe.
Okay, so you take out your vibro-axe. They're both kind of wrapped around Malcolm or really close to Malcolm
I'm
at this point.
I'm really good with it.
Okay, let's see. I am going to upgrade dark side point, upgrade one of those purple to a
light
red.
Side point, upgrade the something to something.
Very good. Okay, so that's three yellow, a green against a red and a purple. Roll it up. Go for despair. So, Malcolm, you're turning around. You're getting this bile out of your eyes, and you turn around just in time to see a Wookiee with her axe come flying towards you.
I'm trying to keep one off me and then pull the stuff off of me. And I know it's coming. I love it.
Wow.
Ooh,
I think...
No failures.
Holy
and
shit.
The red came up blank.
So,
fucking
no
triumph.
Advantage or disadvantage.
Triumph.
A triumph for success.
Killer. Okay.
So I sliced through both of them, basically.
You see a rocket coming from town, and it lands on the nest and just blows everything up.
It's an escape pod.
You definitely...
Yeah.
The salt flats!
Oh, that was let the record show that was Gary pretending to be licking up salt off the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, so with that triumph, no trouble, the Wookiee comes forward and like you almost like are spinning the vibro axe around on one hand. So Malcolm, you're getting out of your face just in time. You're
and
holding
really
off
cool,
one of them.
Like the hair is blowing and the sunglasses come down.
Curly hair.
And
too.
I say, "Axe, you question," and my axe comes down.
Yeah, and just cut both of them. They go flying off of you, and
Dippy catches a piece, dips it in the boiling water, and then. Yes, oh Lord, that's so good.
All right.
Oh, it's like someone is laying eggs in my mouth.
Yeah.
Wait, this was the rear end of that. That probably is laying eggs in my mouth, but they're also delicious.
This miner pops up out of a hole. He's like, "You're the best, Gimpy." Back in his hole.
The triumph is that
Thank
I did
you,
not
miner.
Vomit.
I love you too.
So with that, you guys, the rest of the trip, you watch your feet a couple times. Someone almost slips and lands on the salt, but no problem. You wend your way, and finally you can see the opposite shore. On the opposite shore, large earthen mounds. It's just like, imagine a termite mound, like you see those, except as tall as a one- or two-story building. And there's just hundreds of them, separated by, you know, a meter or two apiece, just dotting out over this plain. And somewhere, like, 100 meters through this thing, there's a huge one, an enormous one, and you can see that it actually used to be a building. It must have been at some point, because you can see a big satellite dish, like, or part of one, coming out of it, and some metal walls are still visible underneath all this caked earth in, like, adobe. And then suddenly one of the mounds, one right on the shoreline, right in front of you, starts to shift and move. And this is, you guys are maybe 30 meters out at this point from land, kind of at medium range again, and part of its body lifts up, and then the other part kind of lifts up, and what looks like, if you want to imagine, a crayfish, except 10 meters long and as tall as a first-story apartment building. What do you call a one-story apartment building?
A house.
A house. It's getting late, folks. Let's take that one again. You see it start to shift and lift its body out of the dirt, and it looks like a crayfish, except the size of a small house. Comes
like how many stories?
Small house,
so like a one story apartment,
like a or a
single
bungalow.
Story,
a bungalow. Comes shifting forward as two massive pincers. Its whole body is kind of like a shimmering opalescent white, and on its eye stalks, they're just these kind of like fleshy pink eye stalks that are like waggling back and forth. And then a second pair of pincers come out underneath the first pair, and then the thing starts moving forward, snipping at the air, and steps onto these sheets of salt in front of you, and just starts, its legs start cracking through it and breaking through the salt, and it doesn't seem to bother it. And it just takes another stride after another stride, and the salt sheets that you're on start breaking up, and you can see these little like fracturing ice cracks running towards you as the only path from you directly to the shore is now blocked. And then boiling out around it on either side come two more swarms of these centipedes.
So what's the difficulty on my negotiation?
That
is, you're eating one of them.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back again next week. And until then, may the force be with you. Trust, feel the force, guide your head.